today we're going to do a mini-series, start off for 2 weeks. We call it a mini-series because most of our series are at least 6-8 weeks long, and some of them even longer. So today we're going to call this a mini-series. Is it okay? Two-week series, two-part series, this week and next week, and then we head right into Easter Sunday here really fast. Today's message I'm going to be talking about over the next 2 weeks is called The Open Chair. The Open Chair. We got to remember that we're called to the open chair, and we'll get into that in just a second. But the reason why this message is important is I believe today it's going to help you and I get reconnected and understand the DNA of why Destiny is doing things the way they're doing them. And why we structure the way we're structured and why we're operating the way we're operating. It's everything with the open chair in mind. So today, let me ask you this question. Have you ever been to a food court? Maybe at the mall or somewhere else where they had a food court with several vendors there. And I know I was doing this one time, and I was eating some food at a particular vendor, and I was sitting there with everybody else who's eating at the food court, and the person who is passing out samples comes up and asks me, would you like to try one of our samples? The only problem is this. Number one, I've already purchased my food. Number two, I purchased it from the place that's trying to give me the samples. I mean, think about it. What a waste of effort. What a waste of time. What a waste of poor marketing skills that you would go and try to give your free samples to people who are already eating from your menu. No, if you want to make some marketing difference, step out beyond a few tables. I know it's going to take a little effort to walk out past a few tables and get out there in the stream where everybody's walking through who hasn't made their mind up yet. And offer samples up to people who are still trying to decide whether or not they want to buy food or not. Right? That seems like marketing 101. We would all agree that's a good plan. Let's get out there and hit the people we're targeting. Give them the samples and let's quit targeting people who are already eating our food. But I wonder how many times is the church guilty of this? How many times are we eating of the Lord's table and we're offering up samples to people who are already eating from the Lord's table? And we're never getting out there offering up the samples to those who aren't eating at the Lord's table yet. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's about to get good in this place this morning. We're going to get right to it, man. We're going to have a good time. And I guarantee you're going to be challenged today, and you're going to see why we're doing the way we're doing church. So how silly is that we would only come and give the Lord's table to people who are already eating for the Lord's table? We got to be a church of followers of Christ who are John 6:35 people. That we are coming. Jesus replied, I am what? The bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus said, I am the what? Bread. Everybody say bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Now turn to your neighbor and say this. Say, carbs are good. Some of you got a bad view of carbs. Some of you see carbs as just putting pounds on. But let me tell you, you can do away with carbs out of your diet for a long period of time, and you'll lose weight really fast. But you'll also lose a lot of energy. And as soon as you get off that carb diet, you put that weight really back on really fast. There's a reason why carbs are important in the right proportions, and healthy carbs in our diet are because they bring us the energy and nourishment we need to do our everyday task. And so this is what Jesus said. Jesus says that when we come to his table and we eat of his plate, that he's the bread of our life. When we drink from his cup, he says those who eat, they'll never hunger again. And those who drink, they'll never be thirsty again. Let me tell you this. How many would agree with me today that in my life, I tried to fill my hunger with other things before? I've tried to fill and get my thirst from other things before quenched, and it's always empty. When you try to fill the void and the hunger in your spirit with other things, let me tell you, there's no man going to fill the hunger that Jesus wants to fill in your life. There's no woman who's going to come and fill the void that Jesus wants to fill in your life. There's no drug. There's nothing you can do in your life, no relationship that will ever take away that when you drink from his cup, you will not be thirsty. Everything else is empty carbs. Everything else will leave you thirsty. Everything else will leave you wanting more of the false thing. But when you eat the real thing, he's the real deal. He's the real happy meal. Amen. Write that down, somebody. That was good. He's the one who will fill the void in our hunger. And we are consuming. We're being filled. And it's our job is to say, who are we bringing to the table? Matter of fact, we've all got to answer that question today. We've all got to answer this question. Who am I bringing to the table? Well, I'll talk more about that in just a second. Let me, first of all, ask you this question. Have you ever invited anybody over to your house before? Yeah. Everybody, see, it's kind of a lost art, isn't it? You guys are bad. How many's ever invited anybody to your apartment before? Okay. One of the things that we used to do when we first got married, whether it was a small apartment or to our rental home, and now we own a home, or homeowners, you know, we used to do a lot of entertaining. My wife's really good at entertaining. We don't do it as much after we had 5 kids, because it's a lot of work to entertain and do 5 kids. So we don't do it as much as we used to when we were first started. But I can tell you this, honey, I was thinking, there's never been a time when we invited someone to come and eat, they didn't say yes. I can't think of a time when I invited someone to come and eat that they didn't say yes. Can you think about that? Really, it's very seldom can you remember a time when you invited someone to have a meal at your house that they actually said no. Why? Because it's true. Feed them and they will come. We know this. Pastor Justin mentioned it a few minutes ago. You feed them, they will come. People want to come for food. And we invite people to come and eat and they want to come. It's our job to get people to come to the spiritual table to eat. Jesus had a lot to say about this table. And we'll talk some more about it. But in Scripture, we find this principle of the table all throughout Scripture. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We come to the Lord's table. You know, in Revelation, you find out that we're going to spend eternity at the Lamb's table, symbolizing the fellowship we're going to have with the Savior. I mean, we find this term in Scripture used a lot. And it's a spiritual context we're using it today to symbolize that you and I are called to bring people to the table of God, which means this, that you and I have been called to go. We've been called to go there. Now, let me ask you this. When's the last time you brought someone to eat with your church, with you at church? When's the last time you brought someone to eat with you at church? I think we all have to answer this question today. When's the last time I brought somebody to share a spiritual meal with me at church? Now, all of you who brought a guest today, you're like, boy, I picked a great day to bring a guest. Congratulations. You're smiling really big. But the rest of us today, we're like, man, I need to think about that. And this message is not to bring guilt or condemnation on anybody, but what I'm wanting to do is, number one, see the priority that we need to be placing on the open chair and realizing that everything we do here at Destiny ultimately comes back to the open chair. It should be our highest priority, is bringing people to the table to eat the spiritual food that God has for their life. Not just you and I. You see, because the problem is this, is that you and I, we consume everything, and we got to learn to give it away. So, the question becomes this in John 4:34. Look what Jesus says here. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So when I receive the spiritual food that's being offered at the table, then I'm receiving the spiritual nourishment to get up and do the will of the Father. That he's got tasks, spiritual tasks that he wants you and I to do. He's got spiritual things that he wants you and I to do to build the kingdom, to be his hands and feet, to serve, to be his light, to be his hands and feet of love. And I receive that when I'm eating from the table of nourishment of the bread of life. And so the question is, who am I bringing to eat with me at the table? I believe this, that most people are just one invitation away. Most people are just one invitation away from joining us at the Lord's table. You know that Easter is a great time to bring people to church. Statistics tell us that in America, that Easter and Christmas, People who say no all year long are very open to saying yes on a Christmas service and an Easter service. Their spiritual light goes off a little more, and they're thinking, maybe I should go and find out if there's more. Maybe I should at least go at Easter and hear, you know? And people are looking to come. How many people, just by a poll, how many people say the first time you went to church was because somebody invited you? Anybody here? Raise your hand. Someone invited me somewhere to church somewhere. Raise your hand high. Yeah. See, that's still the number one way that people come to church, is that somebody gave them a personal invitation to come to church. It's still the number one way. And we got to remember that when I come to the table, I should always remember the open chair. And what am I doing to fill the open chair? What am I doing to bring people with me to eat and see and taste that the Lord is good? It's my responsibility. And we have a responsibility of the church to bring people to the table and to keep the open chair in mind. So let's keep that in mind. Let's think about this today in this context. Let's look at the invitation, the preparation, the presentation, all of this today. Think about the invitation. We just talked about we invite people, they come, right? We invite people to our home, they come. You're invited to come to a restaurant, you come. You're there. But after that, there's a lot of preparation that goes along. And preparing the food, the home, the chair, everything, preparing for the guest in mind, don't you? Whoever you've invited, you're preparing everything around them in mind. You know, today, when we are doing church at Destiny, our leadership team, our volunteers, our workers, our praise and worship team, everybody, we're doing everything with keeping the chair, the open chair, in mind. It's the reason why we do what we do. We're keeping the open chair in mind. We have a clean team that comes in. It's like you would clean your home if you knew you was having guests come over. You got everybody working hard to get that thing cleaned up, spotless, before they come over, right? If you know they're coming, you're going to put in the extra time cleaning, getting things ready. We do the same thing here. Pastor Susan does a great job of organizing all the clean team members. Matter of fact, if you're on the clean team, raise your hand. If you serve, let's give these guys a big hand. Yeah, I appreciate all these guys, man. Coming in and cleaning the church so that it's presentable when people come in. We have volunteers that are working the nurseries and the preschool and the ushers and greeters. We have security teams that are in place. And they're meeting. They're coming down on Saturdays and they're being trained and getting protocol and talking about walking through the building and how we can make this place more secure. And it's all lots of tons of things that are going on. Our media teams working together with video, presentation, PowerPoints. Our music team is working. Our sound engineers are working down here setting sound during the week. Things are messing up. They're having to spend extra time. They're coming down here working on sound throughout the week. Our band is down here practicing. Someone's charting that music. Someone's getting the band together, the worship team together, and they're practicing. I'm studying diligently. I will tell you, I study diligently and I'm thinking all the time about ways that how I can present the gospel in a way that people can comprehend and understand. It's a lot of thought process from our pre-service time, the music we're playing, the things that are shown. Everything is a thought process of keeping the chair, the open chair in mind. It's about the person who's not here and the person who needs to be here. This is the priority of what we do while we do. And we've got to realize that it's always keeping the open chair there. Now, when you visit a nice restaurant, you go in. Have you ever been to some of these cool restaurants that are trendy and cool? And man, people are filling it up because they got good food. But most of the time, their food is good, but it's not necessarily that much better than somebody else down the street. But they've learned how to create an ambience. They've learned how the lighting and the background music and the decor and the presentation of what they do, it's just a little more friendly. A little more, they've learned how to put the guests right. And they've learned how to do it, and it attracts people. And you go there, and you walk in, and they got the right background at the right level playing. You got the right smells, the right lighting. The decor looks cool, and you walk in, sit down, and think, boy, this is a really cool place I can just come and eat and chill. And then all of a sudden, someone opens up the back. Maybe you're sitting close to the kitchen door, and someone opens up the kitchen door, and just for a glimpse, you see what's going on in the back. And the kitchen's going crazy. Yeah, manager's back here yelling, hey, table one, hurry up. Is the food ready yet? This is going to be out the appetizer. Come on, who's got these drinks ready? Who's got the appetizers ready? Come on, who messed this door up? Oh, my God, why aren't you here? Clean this mess up. Who spilled this? Oh. Chaos. Anybody work back in the kitchen and say amen? That's what happens behind? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. There's chaos going on behind the scenes. But then the door shuts and dun, 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 dun. We don't see all that happening. And I tell you, sometimes on Sunday mornings, boy, Chuck is running around. Oh, why is the sound going out? Pastor Tom, get here early. The breaker's flipping. We don't know why this is going off. The lights are messed up. The sound's not working right. No one's here to greet the way that someone didn't fill in the spot they're supposed to. Oh, someone didn't clean up this mess. This is going on, and we're running around behind the scenes. Can I get this covered? Can I get this covered? Things are going on crazy. You would never see that or know that. Why? Because it's all about the chair. We care. We care about the open chair. We care. So we're doing everything we can to prepare. We just don't get up on Sunday morning and say, what are we going to sing today? I wonder who's running the sound today. Let us open up the Bible. Whatever comes out, comes out. No, there's preparation, thought process. Everything we do is thinking about the open chair. Why? Because we want people to fill the open chair so they will sit down and eat of the Lord's table and know it's good. And our job is to do everything we can to help you to get people to sit in the open chair. And mature believers understand this principle. Have you ever noticed that your wife prepares food differently when you have guests come over than she does when the family's there? Amen. Am I the only husband that recognizes this? On a normal meal, you know, you get a casserole put out on the counter, some paper plates, you know, and everybody's got a different color glass. Don't you dare say you don't have ice in your glass. You better get it yourself. You're a big boy. Get your own ice. It's okay. You know, and kids are using napkins. Someone else has got a towel from the sink, and there's also people using for a napkin, and you know what I'm talking about. We're just all digging into the casserole, you know. That's a normal family meal. That's okay. But when we have guests come over. Oh, we eat at the good table when guests come over, right? She puts out the good plates. She uses chargers. I didn't even know what a charger was. A charger. This is called a charger. It holds the plate. It's a plate to hold the plate. We know that was a woman who thought that up right there. A plate that holds a plate. And she brings out appetizers. You're like, who are you, woman? You've never cooked an appetizer in your life, and all of a sudden you're bringing out appetizers and these little fancy toothpicks all over them, and we're eating appetizers and hors d'oeuvres. Hey, how are you? And then we get up the appetizers. She brings out these fancy salad bowls, and we're eating salad. And then we finish the salad and clean it all up, and maybe you get some soup with that and put that all up. And then she brings out the main course and puts it out there. And you get fresh bread out of the oven, buttered, and God, it's like, who are you? Where did this come from? And you get done. She's like, I also took time to bake a dessert today. I'm like, dude, you got to come over more often. This is awesome. Why? Because when guests come, it's our responsibility to be a good host. If you don't have that, then you're missing it, okay? This is not only a spiritual concept, this is just a practical concept. You'll find this concept about being a good host, you can find it in Scripture. People were good hosts, and we were talking about hosting. You'll find where people were good hosts when they hosted people in their homes in the New Testament. You'll see it all everywhere. We are called to be good hosts, and when we have people that we're trying to get to the table, it's important that we do the best job possible of preparation, of invite, and presentation to get them here. And see, the presentation, that's where it comes into me now, okay? So now we are presenting, we're practicing, getting ready, we're presenting music, we're presenting worship, we're presenting things in a way that captivates people. Hopefully, we're connecting with their spirits. It's visually captivating as well. They're connecting and saying, okay, I didn't know church could be like this. I can understand this. I'm relating to this. Wow. And it's my job as a pastor to speak in a way that connects to people's hearts. So let's think about that. If God is the owner of the house or the owner of the restaurant, right? He's the owner of everything. Then as a pastor, I would say I'm the chef, right? I'm the dude with the food. Come on, that's funnier than what you just said. I'm the dude with the food. And it's my job to prepare a spiritual meal when we come together corporately for the open chair so that everybody enjoys the meal and that everybody understands the meal. If you ever go to a church where the presentation of the gospel is bland, it's boring, it has no power behind it, it has no grip to it, it doesn't grab your attention. Listen, the Bible doesn't need help because it's full. It's full of stories that are captivating. The Bible is full of captivating stories. You talk about drama. The Bible is full of any better drama than any reality TV. It's in here, okay? The Bible is there. It's got mind-blowing stories and principles and challenges for us. But if it's ever boring, then don't blame God. Don't blame God. Blame the chef, okay? And it's my job is to, when we come together, to remember to keep the open chair in mind as I'm serving spiritual food here for our corporate time together. I've got to do it in a way that I'm keeping the guests in mind. You see, restaurants understand this. People, when you invite people to your home, your wife understands this. Businesses, business owners, you understand this principle. It's about the new customer. It's about the new guest. How do we acquire new customers? How do we treat new customers? How do we get new people there? It becomes the focus. You focus more on that. That becomes the driving force that drives you. Listen, we're not just in a business. We're in God's business. We're doing God's business, and we need to remember it's just not about the consumer, it's also about the open chair. And we're called to keep the open chair a priority. Turn to your neighbor and say, let's do it. So we're presenting this. The nourishment we receive is giving us the strength to go out and do the will of the Father. Now, I love it when I visit restaurants. Now, I love different ethnicities of food, as you can tell. I love Chinese food. I love Thai food. I love Japanese food. I love Mexican food. I love Italian food. I love American food. I mean, I love it all. You can tell my best one is seafood. I love seafood. I see it. I want to eat it. You know, that's me. Anybody say amen? Now, one of the things I like is when I go to the Thai restaurant and I want to order my food, I know what I want, but if I go to a restaurant, it's a Thai restaurant, and everything's written out there in Thai, what I look at it and say, what is this? What are these symbols? I don't understand this. I don't know what to order. I don't know what this is. But they understand that, and so they print. Even if they have it in the foreign language of the restaurant, they also have it in English underneath it so that you and I can understand what we're ordering to eat, right? So, this becomes, in our life, as a church body, it's important that when I present the Lord's table and we present spiritual food, we do it in a way that people can understand what's being taught. And I can't teach it in a way to try to impress you about how much theology I have and deep knowledge if you're not getting it. I've got to preach it in a way that you can understand and allow the Holy Spirit to apply it to your life. I've met pastors who were like, well, ministers, man, I don't believe in all that. You just get up there, man, you just give the gospel and it'll preach for itself. And I'm like, yes, it does. He's like, you just preach it out there, put the word of God out there, and let the Holy Spirit put it where it needs to go. And to a certain extent, that's true. The Holy Spirit takes a message like I'm sharing today, and he takes it to your heart. And each one in here speaks it to us in different ways and brings out different things we need to learn. But how much more should it be this? I who am spiritual and know how to be led by the Spirit, how much better would it be if I would learn to hear from the Spirit first, let Him give it to me in a way that people who aren't led by the Spirit can understand it, instead of me putting it out there and expecting non-spiritual people to understand spiritual principles. Duh! That's a new concept, right? And so this is why at Destiny, this is why we present the way we do. This is why we'll use as many props as we can, as many videos as we can, as many illustrations as we can, as many stories as we can think of. We're always thinking of the open chair. How can I communicate spiritual principles, godly biblical principles, in a way that people can understand? And I tell you, it drives me. It drives me at night when I'm laying in bed trying to sleep. My mind's going 1,000 miles per hour thinking of things. My wife would tell you, many times I get up in the middle of the night, I have to go write something down because I got an idea. I have to come to me, and I got to write it down. That was good. I got to write that down. I remember this story, or I had this thought come to me, because it's always about the open chair. It's always about the open chair. It should be about the open chair, what we do. I have a responsibility to serve the food in a way it can be understood. Oh, I could preach it in a way that would draw a crowd. I could preach it in a way that would draw other Christians from a lot of different churches around the area. But you know what? Our target, our number one target here at Destiny is not other Christians from other churches. That's not our number one target. Our number one target is people who aren't going to church anywhere. I'm not looking at emptying out other churches. Now, there's going to be times that happens and people, other believers come in, and that's fine. But our number one priority is the open chair. This is our number one priority. We want to reach people that aren't going to church anywhere. People who'd never heard of Jesus. Or people who got burned at church and have been out of church for a long time. And they come in and receive healing and restore their relationship with God. We're thinking about the open chair in mind. We're thinking about the people who aren't here. And then the believers we do get, we're looking for the mature believers. We attract mature believers who understand the principle of the open chair. That's the mature believers we want. The mature believers who are coming in, they understand, yes, they do what they do because of the open chair. They're about reaching people. And I can't tell you how many people that have come in and said, Pastor Gene, I love the fact that this is the first church I've ever gone to my whole life. I have grandparents come in, parents come in and say, where I can understand it for the first time. My kids can understand it for the first time. Their kids can understand it for the first time. And we're all understanding the message for the first time in our life. Used to, it was so over our head and we couldn't understand, but you're presenting it. Destiny is a good way of drawing our teens in. They draw your young adults in. They're drawing families in. They're drawing people in. And the spirit behind what they're doing is drawing people in. And they're getting it for the first time. The light's going off in their head. And they're understanding their relationship with God. And they're understanding kingdom principles. They're understanding the biblical foundations for the first time in their life. Why? Because we're keeping the chair a priority. And the people we attract who are mature believers, they understand this principle. It's about the chair. It's just not about the other people. Are those people important? Yes, they are. And we'll talk more about that. We go from the chair to new believers and to those who are growing and those become spiritually mature. We'll talk more about this other chairs next week. But you can't get past the fact that this always becomes a priority. The family always keeps the guests a priority, right? The family always keeps the invitation a priority and treats the guests like they matter the most. This is what's important, that we remember that we're called to bring people to the open chair. Biblically sound churches realize they are called to always have an open chair for guests and non-believers. Let me say it again. Biblically sound churches realize they are always called to have an open chair for non-believers. That's what biblically being sound, that's becoming an Acts 2 church. That we realize we're called to win the lost. As much as we are called to grow with each other, we're also called to win the lost. He said to go. Jesus said to go. Go. What was his last command? Go. What he was saying was this. Every day when you go out to do your job, go out to your school, go out to your neighborhood, go out and be the light. Bring people to the table of the Lord. Let them taste of him and see that he is good. Share the hope that you have within you. the grace He's given you. I believe if we are doing church the right way, we'll see at least 25 to 30% of the people attending Destiny Church will be people who are here for the open chair. There'll be people who are coming, they're seeking, they haven't made decisions yet to accept Christ, but they're saying, I just want to see. I want to see what's real. I want to see if there's something really to this. I see that your life is changing. I see where your marriage is improving. I see where you're growing something and your life is doing different. I just want to come and check it out and see, could this be for me? And we should have a place where this becomes the normal, that we always are thinking about the open chair. Turn to your neighbor and say, keep the open chair a priority. Come on. It's important. The other chairs are important parts of the team. And we can't minister to the open chair without the other chairs. Very high priority is given on all the chairs. But the maturity of these people sitting around the table who are already eating, the maturity of them says, you know what? The most important thing is the person who's the guest. Or the person who's not here yet. Who are we getting to the table? They understand that priority. I can be honest with you today and tell you that if I had to attend, as an adult for the first time, the church I grew up in as a kid, I probably never went back to church the rest of my life. First of all, I thank God my parents made me go. They made me go and something stuck with me, thank God, finally over time. But if I'd have went to my home church growing up for the first time as an adult, I would have never went back. Why? Because there was no thought process into this right here. I can tell you how many friends I brought from school growing up. Zero. You couldn't have paid me to bring some of my friends to my church. Why? Because there was no thought process given to the open chair. I can tell you, one of the things I love about Destiny is I love seeing all the teenagers and young adults who are always bringing their friends. You guys, man, I'm really proud of you. Great job. And we do that with you in mind, keeping the open chair, that you're not afraid to bring your friends, that you're not embarrassed to bring your friends. You know, if they come here, that they'll have a chance to eat from the Lord's table and get it in a way that they can understand and it applies to their life. It's our highest priority as a church is the open chair. Are we keeping it there? We welcome all believers, but we want believers who understand the importance of the open chair. There's a myth. There's a myth that only shallow churches reach unbelievers. You know who started that myth? Churches that aren't reaching non-believers. Because you've got to give an excuse on why you're not reaching anybody. When you're not reaching non-believers, it's easy to say, well, we're deep, and they're shallow. That's why they're getting non-believers to come to the church. It's an easy cop-out. But really, let me tell you, that's just a myth. Because what the shallow churches are, listen to me, this is very clear. You want to know what shallow churches are? Shallow churches are churches who come, they sit at the Lord's table, and they consume all the spiritual food to themselves and never want to share with nobody else. We become spiritually obese because we consume so much and we never get up and do spiritual exercise and give it away and bring other people, inviting other people who need to eat at the Lord's table with us. That's shallow. That's immature. But you want to know what deep churches do? This is what deep churches do. Look at this. Deep churches are not afraid to go into the deep waters and to rescue people. I pray the Destiny Church is full of people who are not afraid to go into the deep waters of hell, the deep waters where people are at are hurting, people who have been rejected, people who have failed, people who feel like they have no place here, and they know they are welcome here. I could never sit at this chair. Yes, you can. Come and sit with us because we've all blown it. I could never sit here because I've got all this sin. No, no, no. Come and sit with all the rest of us sinners who are just here by God's grace. I could never sit here. I don't deserve it. Neither do we. Come and sit with us. And we'll get out in the deep waters and we'll rescue people who are drowning. That's why everything we do points to the chair. the open chair. It drives us, remembering this is what we're called to do. This Easter, you know, we're going to share it in a creative way. We're going to share the Easter story in a creative way. You know, at Easter, we go all out, man, because it tells us that Easter is one of the highly attended times that people who don't go to church come to church. And so we try to present the resurrection story, the Easter story, in a way that draws non-believers' attention. We tell them kingdom principles, the kingdom principles of how God gave his life for them, died on the cross for them, resurrected from the dead for them. We try to do it in stories that they can picture and understand. This is the way Jesus taught. Jesus taught in stories. Jesus talked about farmers to farmers. He talked about housewives to housewives. He talked about fishermen to fishermen. Duh. He painted kingdom principles in everyday stories so that people could understand kingdom principles and have a picture in their mind and better understand it and grasp it. So this Easter is no exception. This Easter, 2 weeks from today, I'm going to give you a promo. This is what's coming up this Easter to help you get the lost here.
Your daddy died in the ring.
I don't know him. Ain't got nothing to do with me. I've been fighting my whole life. It's not a choice for me. Every punch I ever thrown has been on my own. Nobody showed me how to do this. I'm ready.
How do you know all this?
I'm a son.
A great fighter once said, "It ain't about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward."
I'm telling you, we're going all out. The band's been preparing for weeks, working on new music. The decor team has been working, set design team's been working for several weeks, designing. We're going to have the front of the stage. We have some ropes around here and on the stage as well. Made this thing look like a ring, like a boxing ring. We're going to have some punching bags, some other things up here. It's going to be a really cool setting. But most of all, we're going to share the Easter story in a way that people can understand. And so, today when you leave, you're going to receive an invitation just like this. You're going to receive multiple invitations for you to pass out to people. Just invitations to one of our Easter services. We're having three. One Saturday night at 6 o'clock and two Sunday morning, 9 and 10:50. We want you to reach people. Let's get people to the chair. Let's get people to the Lord's table. We're going all out with our media, with our signage, with our decor, our music, our cleaning, our greeting. Everything, we're going all out. We're putting a lot of effort. Why? Because it's about the chair. So this, I want you over the next 2 weeks, I want you passing these out. I want you on your social media page, when you see the video, pass it around a few times. Share it on your social media. Don't just share, but give a personal invite. Hey, I'm going to the Saturday night service. Join me. I'm going Sunday morning. Join me. You know, if you know somebody who wants to come, personally tag them. And say, hey, check this out. This is going to be cool. I think you would like this. Let's fill this place up three times, standing room only. How many believe we can do that? We can pack this place out three times, stand in a moment. And how many are going to agree and say, this is going to be the biggest harvest we've ever had at Easter at Destiny Church? We're going to see more people come to the Lord's table and surrender their life to Jesus than ever before. Do you agree with me on that? Amen. Let's stand on your feet today. Listen, I thank God today that we have a room full of believers who understand it's about the chair. Let's make it personal today as we close out, singing about God's great love. Let us tell how much we love Him today. Come on, Joe. Somebody in my neighborhood, somebody in my school, for somebody I need to invite. Just give me insight. Help me to invite people to your table. I want to pray for you today. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've blessed Destiny Church with so many mature believers who understand this principle. And they support this principle 100% that everything we do is still about the open chair. And we put the open chair as the highest priority. And Father, we thank you today. That God, that you are giving us people with a heart to reach people. And I pray that, Father, you would take us even to a deeper level. A deeper level that we would not be consumers only. We would consume and give it away. Consume and give it away. Your people, your servants, your hands, your feet. Growing in our relationship with you. Father, I thank you for everyone in this room today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now let me tell you this today. Two things I want you to know about. First of all, I want you to know if you're going to the newcomers, I need you to sign up today before you leave. It's tonight at 6. Number two, I think you ought to give me a hand because I got you out an hour early today according to my watch. So God bless you. Thank you guys.